Good morning and welcome back to the Dump the Blog's Morning Coffee Podcast, DBMC Radio. Hope you're having a great morning, a great day, and maybe a cup of coffee. And we are going to look at Paradiso, Canto 17 today, and six tercets where the pilgrim is reflecting on what Cacciaguida has said so far about his future. It's yet another little passage that is really heartfelt, honest, almost shockingly honest from Dante as a person, and just how he is thinking about the comedy and writing the comedy, and also this enormous conjoining again, like this bringing together his own life with almost like the eternal perspectives. That's where we just also want to very briefly say that it was very interesting for the investment stuff to see the reaction yesterday from the earnings of Nvidia. They were not that much higher than the expectations. Nvidia had themselves said like a quarter ago that they were expecting 20 billion plus minus 2%, and the expectations from the analytical people were on average about 20.6, and then it was 22.1. So it was well above expectations, and then kind of the price just went straight up after hours, and then we'll see today. So that's going to be interesting, and it's something to look after or prepare for 3 months from now, because they said like next quarter they are aiming for $24 billion in earnings plus minus 2%, and then we can see in the early mid May we will come back to this. We will look at what are the expectations, and then you can look at the price the days before the release of the earnings, and then we can make some positions, and then we can see if the same dynamic is playing out. Okay, anyways, from that and over to the main topic of the comedy. So we had now again from last time that Cacciaguida were talking, and he was saying that my son, I have now told you these snares that are kind of in the few that are lying kind of a few years ahead of you, meaning from the 1300, and then this is going to happen then in 1302 to 1304. And he then stops talking, he's then silencing himself, and then it's this beautiful picture that Cacciaguida's words and his prophecy has been kind of weaved onto this canvas, this tela that Dante stretched out for him and asked him, can you please tell me, and I am ready to hear this. I'm ready for the blows from the arrows that might come. Okay, and then the pilgrim starts to speak again with, io cominciai come colui che brama dubitando consiglio da persona che vede e vuol direttamente e ama. So it's going to be really dense tercets. Like now we have six tercets today. So this one is also so packed and beautiful. So he says that I started like the one who is longing, who is doubting, and who is seeking advice or counsel. So that's him, longing, doubting, seeking counsel. From the person who sees and wants right, or kind of wants truth and virtue and loves. So Cacciaguida is here the person, kind of the ancestry here that is seeing things, wanting the truth and virtue, and also loves. Like these are all super crucial ideas and aspects of, you know, where to aim in life. And then the pilgrim says, ben veggio padre mio, like I see well my father. Si come sprona lo tempo verso me, per colpi darmi tal che è più grave a chi più si abbandona. So then, like, I see my father, how it is coming, almost like rushing time towards me, which will hit me or kind of deal me blows that are such that they are more serious, more heavy, more damaging to the ones who are more, in a sense, abandoning this aspect. Meaning that people who do not, or if you don't, there's a bit of a practical lesson here. If you don't think about your future, if you don't prepare for like the contingencies, the eventualities that might come in your future, they might hit you a lot harder. So that's more or less kind of in the practical sense what he's saying here. But this also has consequences for how he's thinking about his future now. So he says then, per chi di provvidenza è buon che io mi armi. Like, and for this, with providence, it is good that I arm myself, or that I put on armor, in a sense, with providence. Sì che se loco mi è tolto più caro. Yes, as if the place most dear to me is taken from me, like if Florence is going to be taken away from me. Again, he's saying this from 1300. Io non perdesse gli altri per miei carmi. That I do not lose the other, meaning the other places, because of my verse, my poem. So here it comes. This is line 111 in Canto 17. And suddenly it's like just directly straight at the point. He talks about the comedy for the first time so directly. Like, I want to write the comedy, but I don't want to lose, I don't want to be kind of banned from Italy and exiled from every city and city-state in Italy. So to prepare for what is coming in the future, to prepare for the consequences of writing the Divine Comedy, is just so honest here from Dante as a person. He will arm himself, or kind of put on the armor of providence, and just have faith in providence that this will go well. Giù per lo mondo senza fine amaro, like down in the world which is like endlessly bitter, meaning now inferno. He's making the big overview here. E per lo monte del cui bel cacume gli occhi della mia donna mi levaro. So, and with or at the mountain of which the beautiful top, the beautiful eyes, or just the eyes of my woman elevated me. So this Tarsus is summing up the first two books in just three verses, like down in the world with endless bitterness, and on the mountain where kind of the prospect, the wish, the pull of the heavens, with the kind of the metaphorically the eyes of Beatrice, lifts him up or elevates him up this whole mountain with the beautiful top of the earthly paradise and the Garden of Eden. And this is also like there's repeatedly in the second book that Virgil is telling him, like, keep going, keep climbing, just think about what awaits you at the top. And then he continues, e poscia per lo ciel di lume in lume, io ho appreso quel che se io ridico, a molti fia sapor di forte agrume. And then for the heaven, so he's using the singular here, but like the heavens, from light to light, like from spirit, from soul to soul, I have learned that which, if I re-say this, if I retell these things, for many, like many people, it will be a taste of strong bitterness here. Or it's more, agrume is like a citrus fruit. So, in other words, just like he's reflecting now on his future because he knows that he wants to write the comedy. But then again, if I tell everything truthfully, then I will make many enemies, potentially. This will be hard to read for a lot of people, both like in his life or kind of bigger, like the kings and the popes and the cardinals. Like he will potentially get a lot of enemies if he's just saying the truth. Which he then finishes with this little passage and saying, e se io al vero son timido amico, and if I, to the truth, am or will be a timid friend, Temo di perder vivir tra coloro. I fear, or I'm concerned about losing to live among those che questo tempo chiameranno antico. That this time, this period, are calling ancients. So this is kind of also packed and kind of double. In one way, he's saying that if I don't tell the truth, the full truth, if I'm a timid friend of the truth, kind of tiptoeing around it, I'm concerned that I will lose this opportunity or lose to be living among those that, so you can see it both like those people who will call this moment that he's in ancient, then meaning then kind of us in the sense that we look back at this as ancient, and then Dante wants to live among us now, like among us who are now seeing his days as ancient. And you can also think of it like in a way that becomes a bit too much that he just wants to be famous, but you can also see it as that he wants to join those people he loves the most and looks up to, which is the ancient writers of Cicero, of Seneca, of Homer, of Virgil, and so many of all of these souls that he met in the limbo in the beginning of the first book. So you can think of this as his wish just to with his lifetime, his life's work, blend into and becoming one of these ancient writers that made a difference and aimed for virtue and spread. It's back to this courage, the spirit of courage in Mars, that will bring him like up into what should you call it? This sphere of the big writers from the ancient time, the thinkers, the theologians, the myth writers, and so on. So you could also then see that this is a way of combining different times. He's talking about his time, or he's writing it in 1318. He's writing a bit backwards, but he's also spanning out this eternal time frame. So that's the last thing we just wanted to mention in this passage and the whole canto, that this is the center of paradise. So it could be worthwhile to just think, like, what is he really doing here? And he's becoming both very personal and honest and like open-hearted here, and just saying really what he thought, what he wanted, and his concerns. But he's also spanning out this eternity of time. So in a sense, time in itself is a main focus of this, the center point in Paradiso, with how all time is gathered in one point in divinity, and also how he is constantly here kind of having this dance of himself as part of the eternity and his wish to become like someone who's making a difference with this. And then you can also say that suddenly, this is very between the lines, but when he talks about like what Dante is trying to do is also engaging in the timeless eternal patterns. Like underneath the comedy, you have all these timeless, eternal, kind of spiritual patterns from which the comedy arises, but it also then taps into these and tries to describe them. And then you could think of this then that the material world is then endlessly churning out from these patterns. So he's making a very deep argument about the nature of eternity, the unity of the spiritual and material like the way when he says that all time, the past, present, and future are contained in a point, which is like divinity. He's saying then that the centuries and the millennia are then just perpetually kind of manifesting again and again these basic patterns. So it's all contained already in the infinite eternal realm. So what he's doing is like the way that he's both very personal and opening this enormous door into infinity. He's in a way unifying this and placing himself within this. And then this is in many ways then the central argument of Paradiso, This is really like the last page of Paradiso, to kind of jump a little bit ahead, is about the unity with the divine in itself and the love that moves the sun and the other stars. This one in the center of Paradiso is more about time, being, eternity, and how there is a deeper structure that he's engaging with through writing the comedy, and then also that he wants to become then like one of the ancients in that sense, one of those people who really do this, but it becomes a way of saying that that you have the eternal realm, all of time, the prophecies can be read out of this, and then he's just wanting to place himself within that. So hope some of this was interesting, some food for thought, and hope you're still having a great day, maybe a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and we'll be back soon with another episode. See you then.